Shark Dropper is brought to you by Audible.com. Go to www.audibletrial.com/shark to get your free audiobook download and 30-day free trial. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your Android, iPod, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Hey guys, I had this weird addiction to lunch meat, but luckily I was able to stop cold turkey. Damn it!
God, hi, welcome to Shark Dropper. My name is Kyle.
I'm Robert.
I'm John.
And joining us today from, you may know him from the Movies, Films, and Flicks podcast. You may know him from his website. I think it's moviesfilmsandflicks.com. Am I right?
Kurt Russell.
You're right.
Yeah. It's Kurt Russell.
Welcome, Kurt Russell.
Yeah. To the podcast. Hi, guys. Hi. You know, just have big fans, big fan.
I'm a big fan.
Are you sick, just... Kurt Russell? You
yeah,
sound
yeah,
sick.
I'm doing Captain Ron 2, and the voice just gets me good. Okay. So, you know, get some lozenges in me. And...
Can I ask why you're doing Captain Ron 2?
I mean, it's just, you know, all these sequels are coming up, and it was right. Big, you know, Joe Dirt 2 and all them, and Crackle picked it up. Crackle called me up, and they said, hey, you want to do Captain Ron 2? And I just figured I'd be shirtless in the sun. Yeah, my throat's getting better for some reason, and let's just do it. Let's do Captain Ron 2. Let's bring Martin Short back. Put me in a boat.
Hey.
Let's get a GoPro. We got a movie.
Yeah, GoPro's definitely gonna help make Captain Ron 2. Yeah. I can see that.
Can you imagine like them trying to shoot an IMAX movie with a GoPro? Like, how heavy is that gotta be?
I mean, that's just what the director told
me. Guys, my neck's starting to hurt.
So they're literally gonna load me up with GoPros, and I'm just gonna improv.
A suit of GoPros.
Yeah,
we're just
all
gonna
face
go
in different ways.
Yeah,
and I'm a Captain Ron it up. Captain Ron 2 GoPro.
Nice.
Mark Hoffmeyer. Welcome to the podcast.
Sadly, guys, if you thought it was Kurt Russell, it wasn't.
Surprise! we fooled all of you.
I'm disappointed. Not to diminish. Happy to see you, Mark.
Right.
Wait, is it weird that I enjoyed doing that character so much? I don't want to go back to being Mark Hoffmeyer.
No, I mean, I wouldn't want to be Kurt Russell too.
Yeah.
I don't want to be Mark Hoffmeyer.
Fantastic.
No offense.
No offense to any Mark Hoffmeyer's out there.
Yeah, I'm sure there's more than one, too. Like, you're not the only one, right?
We've all talked about it, and we said, hey, listen, if someone mistakes you for Kurt Russell, roll with it.
Oh, wait. You and all the other Mark Hoffmeyers?
Yeah.
Right.
We meet at the Marriott in Lakeland, Florida.
See, I only
every September.
I met one other Robert Lamb before, and I killed him because I wanted to be the only one.
Highlander.
Yeah, it was Highlander.
Yo, in all seriousness, I think I'm the only John Lasseter in the entire world.
I doubt that.
Yeah.
No,
I think we can go on Facebook and disprove that immediately.
No, if you go, well, I don't want people listening to it. Whatever. If you go on Facebook and type in John Lasseter, I'm the only one that comes up. Like, seriously. Yeah.
You know what I will make happen? I remember John Lasseter was talking about doing an Irish pub, and he wants to call it Old Lasseter.
Yeah.
We got to make that happen, guys.
why, first of all?
I just like Old Lasseter. I just think that's a beautiful
name. Listen, I like drinking Guinness. I always thought it'd be cool to own my own pub. And, you know, why wouldn't you want to name a pub after yourself? Old Lasseter.
But you're not old. Or is it old?
Like yeah. O'apostrophe Lasseter.
Okay.
Like Old Duels?
Oh, it's O. I thought it was old. Like O-L-E.
No.
Yeah, like old.
Come on.
Like this old bar.
This is an Irish pub.
Or oldie. O-L-D-E.
Or it's like when it's like rain or me, like O-apostrophe E-R.
No.
Yeah.
No. Old Lasseter.
Some kind of old English spelling.
Yeah.
Old Lasseter.
All right. Yeah. Just a no. Just
if you're going to go lame, sure. Why not? It sounds like a good name for it could be.
Right.
What about Olas?
No. Olasvath.
Olasvath, man. That just has a good ring.
What about Olas?
It just rolls off the tongue, man. Just go.
I mean, it's no O Russells, but
no.
It's good.
Yeah,
why not O Russells? I think that's a missed opportunity there, John.
That's not my name. My name's not Russell.
Yeah, but you love Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
That's true.
Would your passion, like, it could be all Irish Russell themed.
Right. No, it'd be a combination of Ireland and Kurt Russell themed drinks and food.
Wait, what? Irish and Kurt Russell
yeah.
themed food.
And yeah. What is and a drinks. Kurt Russell themed food or drink?
Okay. You have the Pork Chop Express.
Okay.
Right? Which is what?
It's just like a fried pork chop on top of sweet potatoes.
Right.
Yeah, it's the Pork Chop Express.
Okay.
Wait, are we talking drinks or are we talking...
There's a drink called The Thing.
Right? Or it's just a mismatch of just a bunch of stuff.
Right.
And Big Trouble in Little China could be like one of those really big cups. You know what I'm saying? Like just a Mondo one for four people.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like it.
Yeah. And then there's the Captain Ron special. It's basically just a lunch special.
Right. What about the shirtless gin?
The shirtless Ooh. Gin?
Yeah.
Or it's actually just gin.
I was going to say sleeveless.
It's got to be the sleeveless gin. It's actually, you get half off gin if you come in with a sleeveless shirt.
It's a promo.
Yeah. Only at Old Russell's. Or Old Lazarus.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
What was that? What about the Dark Blue? Was it Dark Blue? What was that movie?
Yeah, Dark Blue. Yeah.
Was that police one?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Training Day, the movie.
Yeah. Just do a Dark Blue and it's just like a...
That's
blue
just
martini.
That's like a blue moon, but without the orange slice.
The dark blue
Ooh.
Moon.
Oh Ooh. Yeah,
no.
Ooh.
Inside is just a fucking fist.
That sounds like a good one.
Okay, Mark, I get a lot of crap from these two for having this admiration for Kurt Russell. They just don't understand.
I would
really.
More
they just
call
don't understand.
Like just a weird infatuation.
No. I wouldn't say it's weird.
It's a way of life, guys.
Yeah.
No, listen. I like Kurt Russell as much as the next guy.
No,
except
you don't.
You're not the next guy.
Yeah.
You're like more than the next guy.
Okay.
That's what
Thank
I mean.
You.
Well, who's the next guy? I like this next guy.
Kyle's the next guy.
I'm the next guy.
Next guy. I like Kurt Russell. Kyle likes Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
I think I just like that he's been around forever. He's still an underdog. He's been in some really good films. Like, whenever he's supposed to be, like, in a big breakout film, it never works for him. Like, Vanilla Sky, that always bombs.
Yeah.
And like
Vanilla Sky always bombs. Yeah. No matter when it's released.
He's like a Bruce Campbell to me. Like, he's done these, like, The Thing and Big Trouble. He's like a cult.
Escape from New York.
He's like a John Leguizamo to me for some reason. I like these guys that, like, haven't hit. Like, they've been around forever, but they're not, like, A-list.
He's also in Tarantino's next movie, The Hateful Eight.
Yeah.
He grew like a gnarly mustache and beard for it. I don't know if you guys have seen pictures of it.
No.
It's crazy.
It's glorious.
Yeah.
I think when you had Russell and Carpenter together, like it was just magic.
Carpenter in his prime.
Yeah. Well, okay, Big Trouble.
Yeah.
Little Carpenter.
Escape from New York.
The Thing.
Yeah. That was Carpenter in his prime.
It was some of my favorite movies of all time.
Right.
You know,
but I'm just saying recently, what has Kurt Russell really done besides Fast? Seven.
He was in that movie with Bruce Campbell, the Sky High. You remember that?
Yeah. He was a father. He was a superhero father.
Yeah.
And he was in The Art of the Steal, where he played Crunch Calhoun, a guy who got betrayed by his brother Matt Dillon, and he went to jail. Then the movie's too cute.
Calhoun sounds like a name somebody wrote. They're like, we'll think of another one later.
Yeah,
they're shooting it. They're like, fuck it.
Yeah, we already used it twice. Yeah.
It's too late now.
Dude, that is that whole movie. Like, it was too cute by, like, half. Like, you're just sitting there and you're, like, groaning because it's like Pulp Fiction, but in 2013. So it's, like, double depressing.
Well, you mentioned Matt Dillon, too. And I just, Matt Dillon's kind of, like, where's Matt Dillon gone?
Wayward Pines, man.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch that?
No, I haven't seen it.
Dude, I'm all for some Shyamalan magic.
Really? I hate Shyamalan so much.
Shyamalan.
You know why I like him? Like, aside from that stupid Airbender in that Will Smith movie, like, even when he misses big. Like, with Lady in the Water. like this guy goes for original stories, right? Like, Happening and Lady in the Water are original stories, but they're terrible. And so you're sitting there and you're just like, you have your hands behind your head. You're just enjoying every second of the awfulness because this guy missed by like a country mile. but at least he's going up to the plate and like swinging for home runs.
Yeah, it's just like Signs. Swing away. And he just keeps swinging away.
Yeah, he's just big, huge hacks every time. Like, fuck it. Doesn't care what the count is.
Listen, he's in the half court shot contest right now. He's trying to win that 50 grand. Right.
And he talked mad shit before he took that shot, too.
he's like, yo, watch this.
Check out this.
But I love that, man. Like, even like The Village, he had Roger Deakins shoot it, who did Skyfall, so it looks beautiful.
Yeah,
it's like he becomes like so like Shyamalan-y towards the end that like his like there's so much like ego in there, so you're just loving every second of the badness because you know they just wrote him some checks and let him make whatever he wanted and it just blew up in their faces like a cigar from a Looney Tunes cartoon.
He wrote Sixth Sense and I think they paid him $1.6 million for that script and then he also got to direct it. And like I like Sixth Sense and I like Signs, but everything else I can kind of just leave it, especially The Happening. I no lie, I almost walked out of The Happening. I just could not take Mark Wahlberg's acting, and just the running away from wind is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
South Park, you can't outrun the wind. What do you?
That Mark, lady, or I that watched. Steam where that lady's like, "Are you gonna kill me and like rape me in my sleep?" And he's like, "No,
do that. I'm just gonna
where
kill
fuck
you."
Where did that come from?
But you know why he took that role? It's because he was like, I've never been able to play a science teacher in a movie, so that's why I took it. He's like, the movie's garbage, but it's the only movie that would let me play a science teacher.
Hey, he played a teacher in what was that movie that just came out? He played a professor. Gosh. It was
The Gambler.
Yeah, that's it. That movie was bad.
It looked all hair. It was boring. He had that big mop on his head.
Yeah, it was boring, and Mark Wahlberg is not a professor. Like, he just should not be
really
a professor.
Really?
Yeah, shockingly.
I picture him just walking in going like, I got a hangover, read chapter 3.
Yeah. That's how he teaches.
I feel like he'd be like the cool substitute teacher that would come in and just be like, kind of hang out with like the students and kind of joke around. Like, you guys don't have any homework tonight. But, you know?
He was a substitute teacher in Invincible, and I love that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
That movie got me moving to Korea. It like motivated me so much. I like got out of my funk and
You were actually a substitute teacher for a while.
Yeah, right? He was a substitute teacher bartender. I was a substitute teacher bouncer when I watched it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to try out for the Buccaneers, so I just went to Korea instead.
There you go.
Did you ever mix up the two jobs, substitute teacher and bouncer?
Yeah, he didn't let the kids into class a lot of times.
Got stabbed a couple times.
Yeah. You 21? Can't come in here.
Dude, I was working at Ferg's, guys. Like, that place gets crazy back in the day. I was getting like fights every night, then substitute teaching in the morning. It just wasn't like the best lifestyle for me.
For those that don't know, Ferg's is like this gas station that they converted into a bar, and it's like in the downtown area. It's right across from our baseball field, Tropicana Field.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's kind of where like, it's a sports bar, but it's also like a club, and it's like got an upstairs and a dead. It kind of just doesn't know what
it
is.
They used to do music upstairs, didn't they?
Yeah, they usually do like live music or they have a DJ, but it's like, it's like a really popular spot for just kind of like. Just getting drunk. Cheap.
You know what's funny is like for those of you who don't live in St. Pete, Ferg's is like directly across from the police station.
Yeah.
It's like you'd think that would just kind of deter like any type of bad behavior.
No. Oh, it doesn't. It doesn't. I had this really big dude in a headlock one time and the cop was handcuffing him and he almost handcuffed me to the big guy. And I was he was like a millimeter away from doing it. I'm like, No. And then I quit was when what's that law school in St. Pete?
Stetson.
Yeah, I got into a fight with six Stetson kids guys. So six law students, which is, you know, if you're gonna get in a fight with six people, like six law students are probably the best six you want to fight.
Right.
But I was like, I probably need to step away from my bouncing lifestyle.
I don't know. That's probably the worst because then they know like they can like litigate.
Yeah, I'd be like,
they're still in school. They're still in school. They don't know shit yet.
Dude, no lie. I chased them all downstairs and the cops were like blaming me for it. They're like, what'd you do to these kids? I'm like, what did I do to these kids? I'm like, there's six of them. I had like somebody broke a bottle on my head and like cut my back and everything. I'm like, I was getting stabbed by them. And then I was like, well, you know what? You should have had your work shirt on. I'm like, I did. It came off during the fight. Like, so they almost like switched it on me.
So what, you were shirtless as you were chasing these kids downstairs?
Yeah, it must have been a scene.
You are so Kurt Russell.
I ripped my sleeves off first.
Nice.
Yeah. And then I ripped the shirt off.
No, honestly, you were probably channeling Swayze from Roadhouse.
Yeah.
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 Had to have
I was a little bit Swayze. I was a little bit Channing Tatum from Magic Mike. And then I was a little bit Kurt Russell from Overboard.
Yeah. But no Swayze from Donnie Darko.
No, oh God.
Definitely.
He was a teacher, but that's true. No, I'm not going Swayze.
You know what's crazy about being a bouncer is like every bouncer I've ever talked to can tell me about the night that they got stabbed.
Yeah.
So like I've always thought like, man, I'm like a big guy at 6'5", and like I'm thinking like I could, if maybe some money I could be a bouncer, but then like I think like every bouncer I've ever talked to, there's a night where they got stabbed.
Yeah, you're going to get stabbed if you're a bouncer. You do it long enough.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah. Mark, did anybody, because you up in Tally, you used to bounce at this club called Big Daddy's. I guess one of the guys you work with, this guy named Big Kahuna, like how big was he?
He's 6'11".
He's 6'11". Did anybody ever try to stab him?
No, but they would come after me. So, like, because they knew I was a little guy. I remember I got into a fight with a guy.
Okay,
my
well,
size.
How tall are you again?
I'm 6'3 and a half.
Yeah, you're the little guy in that situation.
Yeah, around that time, I was like weighing about 230, and this guy kind of had the upper hand on me. And Kahuna comes out of nowhere and he goes, "Get your hands off of Mark." And he picks him off the ground and carries him out. Jeez. It was like it was pretty awesome. Like, the kid was like, "Oh my gosh." Yeah. But no, I mean, it was mostly indie kids, so they didn't really stab people. They just kind of drink Four Loko and dance badly. So
get away from me. Stop dancing badly next to me.
Put some better music.
The best night I had is when I got two hipster kids, two indie kids, and like one headlock. So my right arm had two heads in it.
Like, it's a new record.
Let me try one more.
I was seriously smiling when I was walking out the door. Like, I was looking at people like, "Hey, check this out.
Look at these guys. Look at them. They're right here. I can do whatever I want."
Did you
tell them, like, "Hey, I got you in a headlock and I threw away the key"?
Yeah, you couldn't get out of that thing, man. Not a chance.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'll never be a bouncer.
Why not, Robert?
I don't know.
You got the gusto for it, I think.
Yeah. Nah, I just don't like being beaten up and stabbed.
So you got like that friendly demeanor. If someone, some drunk guy comes up to you, you could like try. You can just talk them down, make him
talk him down.
Yeah, make him tell you their life story.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it though. Like, I've talked to drunk people. I've talked to drunk people. It's not that great.
The older I got, I would start to put people in time out. So I'd be like, "All right, sit outside with me for 10 minutes." And so I would, like, instead of like kicking him out, I'd make him sit next to me in a little booth for 10 minutes. And I put a mom in timeout once, and she was about 5 minutes into it. She's like, "Did you just put me in timeout?" And I'm like, "You got 5 minutes left."
Like, don't ask any more questions.
It was like my timeout, and it worked. Like, and then this is going to sound weird, but for a while our bar got taken over by Wakulla is next to Tallahassee. It's a very country area. And from that area, I don't know where they came from, but it got taken over by a bunch of – our bar was basically loaded up on Thursday nights with a bunch of lesbians from McCullough. And it was like a fight every night. And I would have to, like, pick them up and carry them out of the doors and, like, deal with all their fights. So it was like – I pretty much saw everything when I was bouncing.
Yeah. Jeez.
That's awesome. See, those stories make me want to be a bouncer. But then the night I got stabbed stories are the ones that
– Well, you know – like, you know my friend Claude or whatever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, he used to tell me stories.
Jean-Claude?
Yeah, Jean-Claude is my best friend.
Well, what's his last name?
Mark, you gave it away.
Starts with a D. Well, it's like a V and then a D. It's two words.
I'll look him up on Facebook.
Right, yeah, it's probably not important. Yeah. But yeah, I remember my friend Claude saying, like, he would get drunk all the time and go into bars and, like, he's gotten into, like, so many fights, but he would be, like, the crazy guy who would go in there. And I remember he said he got into a fight, like, in a bar with, like, six people, and they're, like, talking shit about him.
Did they go to Stetson?
No. I don't think they did.
Okay.
But he got into a fight with them, and then the bouncers, like, pushed them out. And then he said, like, he was standing by himself, and the six people were, like, in their own group. And, like, for some reason, he was just, like, still mad. And he ended up going up to them, and he just, like, socked one of them in the face. And then, like, they all jumped him. And he said, like, he was, like, so drunk, he doesn't remember, like, everything that happened. He just remembers getting kicked a lot and then waking up in the hospital. And then he didn't have any, like, money or anything on him, so he, like, skipped out on the hospital, like, ran away and, like, got a taxi outside and just drove off. And, like, that
How did he pay for the taxi?
I don't remember.
Jumped out, yeah, like, midway. Yeah.
And then he ran away from the taxi.
Yeah,
and then,
maybe. It was just, like, weird. It was just, like, that's the kind of guy you got to deal with sometimes.
Dude. Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh yeah. But see, I didn't mind those guys so much because you kind of get used to them, so you kind of know how to deal with them. You kind of let them get their energy out, you know, swing a few things, and then you throw them out. But like, they're kind of better when you let them back in. Like, they know they can kind of get away with a certain amount.
Right.
So, yeah, I wasn't like that bouncer that was like a bro. I wasn't like the bro bouncer. I was more like the big brother bouncer.
Nice.
Yeah, the bro bouncer's
keep an eye on everything.
That's right. That's right.
You need a bouncer with a sense of humor.
Did you mean big brother, like...
I was watching it.
Big Brother. Yeah. Okay.
No, just like, I had binoculars.
I had like, dude, I was set.
Hey, you could mean by a sibling. You could mean the TV show. You could mean.
I would lecture people. Like, I would. I would seriously be like, "Hey, man, you just got to knock this off. This isn't any way to live." And then, yeah. Like, I remember one time I was teaching at Florida State. I was doing public speaking, and there's a little white concert. And all he does is rap about oxycodone, and a couple of my students were there. And I kind of like pulled him aside. I'm like, "Listen, guys, it's cool you listen to him, but just don't be like, you know, doing Oxycontin." And they're like, "Are you lecturing us? Like, is a bouncer lecturing us?" I'm like, "But I'm your teacher." So like, I became like the lecturing bouncer that everyone hated. Like, they'd rather get thrown out than have me lecture to them.
Yeah, I can see kids doing that.
You taught public speaking? I can't tell. I can't really tell.
I'm talking too much. Sorry, guys. Sorry, no, regular listeners.
I know. You're good.
I just can't believe there was a rapper called Lil White.
Yeah. And he raps about Oxycontin.
About Oxycontin.
Oxycontin. That's all I know. He just kept saying it over and over.
He's wearing, I'm looking up a picture of him, and the first picture on Google is, "I need a Xanax" on his shirt.
I like how he spells White, W-Y-T-E.
Yeah. Well,
that's pretty clever.
That's pretty dope, as the kids say.
Put some spin on it.
Now, dope is another kind of drug that, I don't know, you know what the kid's doing.
It's a bad one. you can get some serious side effects from that bad boy.
Yeah.
The dope?
The dope.
The dope. You gotta be scared of the dope.
You're gonna start seeing all manner of things. You're gonna start seeing some clowns and some dogs.
Just lecture these kids. Don't do the dope. Yeah.
Dare, guys.
You
take one dope. If you inject one dope into your body,
you'll probably die.
Yeah, you're probably close to dying.
Speaking of dare, did anybody think that worked?
It didn't. I mean,
ironically, you know, like people would wear the shirts.
I had a
Do you remember being a kid and asking like dare officers, or like when someone would come in to speak, asking them questions that they couldn't answer? But like at the time, you didn't know that. But like looking back, you're like, oh, they probably couldn't have answered that. Like, for example, I think someone came into our school to talk to us about fighting and like, you know, violence and how we shouldn't fight. And what I got out of it was like, okay, so I'm only allowed to defend myself if I'm backed into a corner. So I'm like, okay, so what if like five guys back me into a corner and like they want to kick my ass? Can I fight back? And she's like, well, you know,
maybe. I mean, let them swing.
Well, I remember like in grade school, like in fifth or fourth grade, like, you know, we had the officers come in, do like the whole spiel. They would come in like, I think it was like every year actually. But then like once I got to middle school, like, oh, everybody started drinking. A couple people started smoking.
Yeah.
And it was just like, well, okay. Yeah, no.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it like actually worked on some kids, but
I mean, that was like purely anecdotal. But
it was just like a way. Yeah, it's just like, you know, when they teach you anything,
they'd be like, don't, like, say no to drugs. If someone offers you drugs, you say no. And then I'm like, what if they just don't take no for an answer? And he's like, so next question.
So wait, I have a question, guys. So you've taken the dope, right?
We've all done the dope.
You've done the dope. What's the worst thing that you could see? Because you said clowns, and that's a scare. Like, what's the one thing when you're on the dope that you don't want to see?
A cop.
Well,
there you go.
A clown cop?
Yeah.
A clown cop.
An undercover cop dressed as a clown.
No, yeah. That would be scary. That would
be a great TV show, actually.
He couldn't catch you, though, because he probably has the big shoes on.
Right. No, but he's got that clown car. He's got like half the police.
There's a lot of people in it. Yeah.
He's got the whole SWAT team in there.
You wait to see. Yeah.
Yeah, it just comes out.
Holy shit, there's so many of them. Well, police violence in America.
Yeah. They're still coming out.
I always had a thing with cow skulls. I've always been like kind of afraid of cow skulls. They're just kind of creepy to me. So if I saw like that, maybe.
You mean like floating around or
just maybe like I don't know, like on a body or something. But cow skulls.
You do a lot of the dope in Texas in like the fields, don't you?
Doesn't that just kind of look creepy? It just brings to mind like creepy images.
Yeah, I don't want to see no cow skull.
Yeah,
no. I'm thinking I don't want to see the troll from Ernest Scared Stupid.
You got like meow.
Yeah, that thing was fucked up, and like all the orange stuff that would come out of it.
And like, listen, it had no pattern.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And so like, it ran around the woods just stealing kids willy nilly. Like he would go under the bed, right? The girl would look under the bed, then he'd get on top of the bed with a big smile on his face.
Oh, that's
and, like
right.
He would, yeah. And, like I used to like skateboard and ride around my neighborhood, and it was in the country, and Hudson, Florida. I don't know if you guys have ever been there, but and then he missed a kid and he would just go grab another kid. So when I saw that movie in like third or fourth grade, like my life was wrecked. So like, if I'm on the dope and I see that little troll, cause like you can knock him with, you can hit him with anything. He's not going to die. So you're pretty much like, that'd be the worst night ever to be chased by a troll.
What's
I feel like any night would be terrible. Just be chased by a troll.
Yeah. Oh, but that night in particular,
what's scarier, a leprechaun, a troll, or a goblin?
Troll.
What's a goblin? Like, is that just like,
yeah, what? Yeah.
Like in the Lord of the Rings, there's that scene or the Hobbit where they're like, oh, it's 100 goblins. And there's two guys. And they're like, we got it.
Yeah.
So like, you know, like I think it was like a willow troll.
Yeah. Are we talking a Harry Potter goblin? Are we talking a Lord of the Rings goblin? Are we talking
about
like
just
the green goblin?
From, yeah. Ooh, the green goblin.
Yeah.
Will of the Foe was so scary. Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. What's scarier? The Lucky Charms leprechaun, Willem Dafoe. Or a troll.
Willem Dafoe on the glider, but somehow he's still dressed in drag, like from the Boondock Saints.
There you go.
Okay. No, it's just Willem Dafoe's got those
troll guys.
Willem Dafoe's got those weird eyes, like just very unsettling.
Willem Dafoe looks like a troll.
Yeah.
Like if Willem Dafoe was shorter.
Shout out to Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, no, hey, I love Willem Dafoe, but I'm just saying that he kind of looks scary sometimes.
Sometimes.
Especially when he smiles.
Because the scene in Platoon where he got shot about 50 times.
Oh my god, Platoon's my favorite movie. Like with Willem
Dafoe. Willem Dafoe ever been in a romantic comedy?
Yeah, Made in Manhattan.
No way.
That was Ralph Fiennes. My bad.
Yeah.
Hey, same. We all make that mistake.
Made in Manhattan.
Ralph Fiennes, Willem Dafoe. Yeah, it's it.
Gary Sinise. They're all the same.
You know, I was at a World Market one time, and the lady at the register was like, "You look like Voldemort." I'm like, "What?" She was like, "You look like the guy who plays Voldemort." I'm like, "Why don't you just say that?" I was like, "Ralph Fiennes," and then like the person next to her, they pulled up a picture. So I'm sitting in this World Market. I'm trying to get a beer because they have pretty good beer there, and I'm sitting there being told I look like Voldemort.
Like when he's like all pale and it's got like the little snake slit. Like,
he does those little hand things and those creepy hugs.
Yeah, I can see that.
Oh, yeah, I just watched that movie. There, he did give a creepy hug to, what's his name?
Yeah, it's Malfoy?
No, not to Malfoy. Oh, yeah, to Malfoy. That's right, yeah. When Malfoy comes up and, like, offers himself or, like, joins the ranks of the Death Eaters, he gives him this weird creepy hug. I'm like, oh, I never noticed that before. That's, like, such an awkward hug.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm going to do a post about awkward hugs
in movies.
Awkward hugs in movies.
Yeah.
A lot of them are going to feature, like, step-parents. I just feel like it's just going to be a lot of step-parents.
Like Baxter's, like Carrie Ells from Liar Liar or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
It's the Claw.
The new Will Ferrell movie coming out with Mark Wahlberg, where it's called, like, Stepdad or something.
Really?
Like, Will Ferrell's, like, the stepdad, and then Mark Wahlberg, the real dad, comes back into the life of, like, the family.
Okay.
And, like, Will Ferrell's just kind of, like, they're both trying to, like, updo each other.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm the kid, I'm happy. I'm getting horses. I'm getting I'm getting a treehouse. I would, you know what? I would milk that for all it's worth.
Me too.
Yeah, two dads.
I'd say everything's awesome. Both dad. Yeah. My two dads.
Yeah.
Get Paul Reiser in there.
Oh, yeah.
You'll either get twice the presents or twice the guilt.
Or both.
Or both.
Hey.
Why not have it all?
Yeah.
That's what I was.
Yeah.
I love guilt and presents.
No, honestly, I'm excited for the movie because I love the other guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think it's written by Adam McKay. I think it's like, well, maybe it is. I don't know.
Dude, I'm a peacock, man. I'm a peacock.
You got to let me fly, Captain.
You got to let me fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you quoting TLC right now?
Yeah. You just got to creep.
Creep. No one says creep without knowing it's quoting TLC.
You know what line I think really, I don't know why it's a throwaway line, but when Damon Wayans Jr. is like, he's tweeting, he's like, I'm at the crime scene, LOL. I don't know why I love that line so much, but it's like, I don't know.
No, the best line from that movie is when they recover Will Ferrell's car, and then like the guy's like going over what happened, and it's like, yeah, apparently a group of homeless men were having an orgy in there. Yeah, they call it a soup kitchen.
Yeah. Nasty Mike and the boys.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about Adam McKay, Will Ferrell movies. They just have a lot of those little
improv,
little lines in there.
There wasn't a lot of improv in A Deadly Adoption.
No.
Well, we talked about it earlier on an earlier podcast, but yeah, I remember watching that movie with Robert, and we were just like looking at each other like, what is going on?
What did and Adam McKay produced that too?
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't write it though.
Can I tell you guys a pretentious story?
Please,
about
sure.
Adam. Like, so I worked on Anchorman 2 with McKay and Will Ferrell and all them. And
you're a PA guy, right?
Yeah, okay. in my old life.
Yeah.
And we did the fight scene. And so basically takes normally take like you know, 10 to 15 seconds, you know, you're locking up. But with McKay, they improv for like 10 minutes. And so there's a few of us and we were in charge of 40 cars and we had to make it seem like a packed New York street. And that's perfect for like 30 seconds. But once I realized that we had to do 10 minutes, it just became mad dashes to like, it was the most stressful week of my life because you never know where they were shooting. And like, so like the improv turns like hilarious, but like when you're working on that set, it's a nightmare.
Really?
Because like you're listening to like the Ghost of Stonewall Jackson go through 50 different improv lines, but you got to like make sure that like in a busy Atlanta area on a street, you got to make sure that your picture cars that are breaking down and not moving. There's like one car that like broke down and I had to push it on the driver's side while they were like shooting that way. like you can see me walking in the background of what it was like the most stressful week. So now like when I think about all that improv, it like hurts my soul. So sorry for like a pretentious story, but like that's like what thinks in my brain when I think about those movies.
Yeah.
The turmoils of improv filming.
How much are you allowed to talk about your time as a PA? Because I know you had to sign some NDAs.
Yeah, right? I mean like I just did Cap 3. But I get the living shit suit out of me if I talked about
Tell
it.
Tell us the entire plot of Cap 3.
Who was there? Yeah. How long?
So this is what it is. All right. So, you know, there's this Marine and they find this circular portal that can take you back to like Egyptian times. And so they go back in time. So they meet this like Egyptian god who's been like, ruling over all these
people.
I want to hear this,
guys.
And there's like this flying pyramid, and then you know James Spader shows up, and then there's this big battle,
right?
And you know it's pretty climactic, guys.
Can I ask one question? Spader. Is there maybe like for just an instant maybe that Kurt Russell might appear in this?
Wait.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Kurt Russell is in Captain America 3.
Oh yeah, my god. Yeah,
we're breaking news right now.
Yeah, he plays Spider-Man.
Now, is the alternate name for this something along the lines of like maybe Star or something?
It's I think it's the subtitle. Captain America. Yeah,
Captain America 3.
Star Wars.
Stargate. Okay.
Stargate Wars.
Stargate Wars. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Okay.
The Winter Stargate.
Yeah.
There. So that's right. It.
Yeah, Captain America 3.
The Winter
Captain
Star Wars.
America 3. : Civil War Winter Soldier Stargate Star Wars Gate
/ Star Wars
Star Wars : another: A New Hope
Part 1
3,000 Miles
Part 1 / Part 1
yeah
and parentheses so,
presented by
Quentin Tarantino and Eli Roth.
I just want to say it's been nice podcasting with you guys. I'm going to be arrested in about 5 minutes.
Okay. What'd you do? Yeah, they're sending the Black Marvel helicopters.
Yep. They know when you talk. So, you know, it's been fun. Like,
they know when you were sleeping.
We still got 5 minutes. So,
So stick around.
Before the helicarrier arrives. So we'll see if...
They're going to actually send Chris Evans as Captain America.
to arrest you. They don't fuck around. That's a real thing that they do.
Yeah.
Chris Evans.
So that means my house is literally going to explode.
Yeah.
Like
it's going to be lifted off the ground like in Avengers 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are not going to knock on my door and have me willingly, you know, go peacefully. Like, he's going to come flying through a window here pretty soon.
And
beat
you to pulp.
To pulp.
You will be like orange juice.
Yeah. And that's how orange juice is made.
Killed people who... break their NDAs. That's why I don't drink orange juice too much anymore. Once I found that out, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna quit on the OJ for a little bit.
Yeah. Corporate America's taking over these NDAs.
Just enough with the pulp.
Enough with the pulp.
Men in my orange juice.
Can't be having it.
Can't have it.
Well, let's see if Mark makes it past the break. We'll just wait it out.
Okay. Yeah, we'll wait out. Right, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Do you hear that?
Oh shit. Okay, guys, we gotta go.
All right, we'll be back.
Please state your name for the camera. David.
Huh?
State your name.
David Summers.
And why are you here?
Because you think I killed them.
Killed who? Killed who, David?
My friends.
And did you?
No. No, I didn't.
And who did?
It doesn't matter. record, please? It killed them. All of them. By it, you mean this man from your dreams?
No.
Then who? You know what this looks like, right, Mr. Summers?
Yes, I do.
And according to you, by this written statement, you predicted this by way of what you call sleep paralysis.
Yes.
So if you knew, why didn't you say anything?
I tried. But it's already too late.
And what exactly happened out there, Mr. Summers?
There was something out there with us! Something that was
Mr. Summers, I ask you to calm down.
Coming summer of 2015, Paralyzed, brought to you by Shark Dropper Studios.
Oh man, you guys, I am sick. I am sick and tired of you not going to audibletrial.com/shark to get your audiobook download. Listen, if you go there right now, just take some time. I'm patient. I'm a patient enough man. I'm not making too many demands of you. Just go to Audible Trial. Go scope out a few audiobooks. The last couple of weeks I've been talking about Ghost at a Watchman, narrated by Reese Witherspoon, which is fucking craziness. I mean, got Reese Witherspoon doing the classic follow-up. Is that a classic yet? I'm going to call it a classic. It's a classic follow-up to the classic of To Kill a Mockingbird. That's right. You answered correctly. Go download that. It's currently on Audible. You can hear her do that. You can get Elon Musk's biography or, I don't know, whatever one's just has his... Look, I'm just sitting here looking at the fucking covers and reading them off. Okay, you could do the same thing. Maybe you'll find one you like. Audibletrial.com/shark. You get a 30-day free trial and an audiobook download. They have over 180,000 titles to choose from for your Android, your iPod, your Kindle. And, follow with me, class. Say it, your MP3 player. Welcome back. Mark's still with us.
Hey.
Everything's good. He defeated Marvel.
You killed Captain America. Right? No, you bounced him right out of your
headlock,
house.
My headlock skills from my bouncing days came off, and I got him in a headlock and just popped his head off.
Yeah. Well, I thought you shot him in the face.
So,
okay. No, shot him while he was at him in a headlock.
Right. Yeah.
There will be no more Marvel movies. You heard it here first. It's done.
You actually went on a rampage and killed not just all the superheroes.
Just all of them.
Well, they didn't see it coming. Like, I kind of walked in like, oh, hey, there's Mark. And then...
You said most of them were just, like, eating ice cream, watching TV, and you just came in their house and just murdered
them. It was like a Boondock Saints. A rope worked out really well for me.
I was going to say it's like The Watchmen.
And Willem Dafoe helped you out, right?
And I just took them down like a bunch of animals for sport.
It was a really interesting break.
Ooh.
Hey, I see what he was doing there.
Funny you should mention
hunting animals for sport, Mark.
Okay.
This seems like a hot topic we should get into maybe right now.
Yeah. I like that segue.
Transition.
Wonderfully done. See, all the best transitions are done when you mention that you've just transitioned.
Yeah. I like a transition when you go back and you dissect the segment, like the
listen
whole transition.
To any podcast I've ever hosted. All the transitions you get are gold.
Yeah.
If you're going to listen to a Louis C.K. or a George Carlin, like their stand-up, like the way they segue from joke to joke, it's just...
It's seamless.
It's seamless. They just, after each joke, they say, okay, next joke, this is my segue.
Yeah.
Here's the joke. It's...
And then sometimes they even go back and say, did you like that segue?
Yeah. They'll always reference it.
It's a pretty good one, yeah.
It's good.
I feel like I John Stockton that segue to you. You know, you just all you had to do was Carl Malone at home, so...
I'm telling you, man, you gotta quit using that particular analogy because they never won a ring. Just you gotta use like Pippen and Jordan.
Yeah.
No, dude.
Or like D Wade and LeBron. They had some pretty good
alleys. They won an Olympic gold medal.
Oh.
Yeah, hey. With Jordan on a team.
Who could forget the
dude? Karl Malone says that John Stockton.
I will say that Stockton had like the awesome shorts, the short shorts. Yeah.
The most important.
Assist man on the planet.
Like, how do you play basketball with shorts that tight?
I mean, he was a lion on
it
the
keeps
court.
Everything,
I guess.
Secure.
Yeah.
All right. So see some lion.
Okay.
Wait, did you get that one?
What?
He was a lion on the court.
Oh, son of a bitch. Yeah, that was my segue.
Speaking of lions, guys.
Speaking of lions, again. Let's get into this.
It's Val Kilmer movie with Michael Douglas.
Yes, because this is Ghost in the Darkness in real life right now. Guys.
So what thematically Ghost in the Darkness?
Okay, let's start off. It's 1890.
Yeah.
And Val Kilmer's character is trying to build a railroad.
Really fucking bad.
Two lions who are just hunting for sport. Hey, hunting for sport.
Oh.
All right, let's talk about Cecil the Lion. Cecil the Lion was a lion that was just killed recently.
Can I just say it sounds like a Sesame Street character?
Yeah,
kind of.
Like Cecil the Lion. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Wait, is it Cecil or Cecil?
I don't know. See, I would say Cecil.
Yeah, Cecil.
Okay, whatever. We'll go with Cecil, but we could be wrong. Cecil the Lion was a lion that was just shot, what, like 3 days ago, 4 days ago?
Yeah.
He was shot in some Zimbabwe. And, okay, this is the story. A guy who's a dentist in Minnesota paid $50,000 to $55,000 to hunt a lion in Africa.
Right.
So he goes to Africa. He goes to Zimbabwe. He gets the proper permits because you have to have a permit to do any kind of trophy hunting, which is trophy hunting any like the rhinos, elephants, anything that's endangered or close to being endangered. You need permits. So he got that. So it's not like considered like poaching. But what happened was he and his
his
guide and this farmer. The farmer owns a farm right off of a nature preserve.
Right.
And what they did was they lured a lion, and it's called baiting. They baited a lion out of the nature preserve, and that way they could hunt this lion. They baited him out. They shined a spotlight on him, and this dentist shot the lion with a crossbow, and the lion ran off. Obviously, because he didn't kill it. And 40 hours later, they found the lion. They shot it dead. They cut off the head. They skinned it so he could take those trophies back home.
Right.
But then they realized, all three of them realized that it had a GPS tracker on it. So they realized it was part of some study or something. So this is, I'm not positive, but I heard that they tried to smash the GPS tracker so like that people wouldn't know,
right?
But I guess they couldn't do it or something. I don't know if that's completely true, but anyways, they left or whatever and fled, and after they took their prize. Now what happened was they found authorities found out that it was Cecil the Lion, which is this main attraction for tourists in Zimbabwe in this nature preserve. Okay. So that's why they knew he was gone, and the people who are studying him found out that he was gone. They found the body, they found out he was hunting, they found out who hunted him. So the two guides were arrested. Now they're out on $1,000 bond, but they're going back for trial date, I think later this week, or right. Maybe it already happened. And then the dentist right now is no one can find him. He went into hiding when he got back into America.
Jesus Christ.
The internet has just like gone.
Oh, the internet.
On the full offensive on him.
Social media went crazy because he started getting Yelp reviews. Like he instantly got
the Yelp reviews.
2,000 Yelp reviews about his dentist practice, and some of them were pretty funny though. They're like, "Hey, he's fine as long as you're not a furry creature or something like that." Like it's like stuff like that. So people just like ripped into him. Yelp was starting to take off the reviews,
yeah.
And people were getting mad at Yelp. They're like, "Fuck you. Let us review it. Like, who are you to say like what we can say?"
Yeah.
Well, a lot of these people leaving the bad reviews have never actually been there.
I know,
so it's just like,
I know, but it's still funny. So, anyways, yeah. He's getting that. Also, people went to his office or whatever and left like stuffed animals, protested, put notes on his door. He closed his practice, and now no one can find him. And last I read, the FBI couldn't even find him right now. Like, they're not sure where he is hiding.
If they could find fucking Whitey Bulger
in
Santa Monica, yeah, they can find
him. They're definitely going to find him. And he last tweeted that he would help the authorities in any way with inquiries. The problem is, like,
a lot of people are like, oh, it's just, you know, miscommunication. He didn't know that it was illegal hunting. The problem is he had a run-in with authorities a couple years back hunting a black bear, because he's hunted brown bear, he's hunted grizzlies, black bears, rams, rhinos. He's hunted lions before. He's a big game hunter. But he got in trouble hunting a black bear, I think in Wisconsin, where he shot a black bear outside of a hunting area.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they found out, the authorities found out about it, and he tried to lie and say that he killed the bear previously and then just brought the bear out of the area.
Brought him here.
Yeah, I just dragged it 200 yards this way.
Got to get those Instagram likes, okay? Yeah. So I needed a better scenery.
So they found out that was a lie, and they charged him $3,000. They fined him $3,000 for that, and they put him on probation a year of hunting in, I guess, either Wisconsin or like America or something like that. Whatever that, I don't know how that works, but he was on probation. So a lot of people were saying that even if he knew, he had to know that maybe they were baiting the lion out, because right, that's what it's called. It's baiting, like they were. I don't know. So regardless or not, the internet just exploded, and now there's these protests, and people are trying to get big game trophy hunting banned in Africa and in U.S.
You know, it's everywhere. Weird. Like, the big game hunting, that's been around for a while. Like, right, he wasn't the first person to actually do this.
No.
So, well, I just wonder why did it blow up now?
All right, well, here's...
Ricky Gervais
right,
recently posted a photo of a woman laying next to a giraffe. And
Texas,
that's
right?
Kind of the first I heard about it, and it just sort of exploded. With that, and then he put up other photos, and then other people started finding other photos for that. And so I think this is kind of the culmination of all of that news.
Okay, well, Ricky Gervais is he's big into animal welfare now. Like, he's a huge animal lover. If you don't know who Ricky Gervais is, he's a comedian. He started The Office, the BBC.
He was at Night at the Museum.
The British.
Both.
Version. Night at the Museum.
Convention of Lying.
Yeah. obviously, big game hunting has been around, but they have said that big game hunting is actually bigger now than it ever has been, in the sense that there's more people going out there paying high prices. The problem is that, now this is what I've read on just multiple websites, because I wanted to do some research on the subject, because I'm not against hunting. I am against, like, this kind of hunting.
Sometimes hunting is necessary to help with population control.
Especially right, deer. Yeah. Like, deer are like...
But I will say that the reason for that is also human-made. The reason why deer get out of control now is because humans have shortened their environment. Like, they force them into a smaller habitat. So when they get crazy, they're breeding, and there's too many of them, and they destroy the forest.
Also gotten rid of, like, their natural predators.
Yeah, Florida panthers. There's literally, I think, 70-something Florida panthers
left.
Yeah,
baby.
So, like, I mean, it's just people hunting.
Baby. Yeah, baby.
We're going to fuck this place up.
So, I mean, big game hunting, the problem with that is a lot of these animals are endangered, like rhinos and like lions and stuff like that. The thing is that when you pay these high prices, a lot of times the Zimbabwe government or South African government will say, oh, well, this money that they're paying actually ends up helping for research and stuff like that. And that's just total bullshit. That's like what Japan uses when they do the whaling. They're like, oh, well, we're studying whales. We have to kill 100 whales a year to study them. And it's like a bullshit excuse to hunt. And they found out that I think it's like less than 12% of the money that's spent on big game hunting goes to research for animals. It actually probably ends up in these government pockets.
Yeah.
Like the rich people.
Oh, yeah.
It's all
yeah.
corrupt governments.
Like in Africa, like if
they need money and like.
Yeah. The only reason the animals are the endangered animals are still alive is because they're worth you know, they're worth money or the government.
It's the tourism and it's for big game hunting.
They're worth money to the actual country for tourism and the.
Right. And the problem is, though, if you keep hunting them, because they've said that in this past year, or at least every year, 696 lions are killed for big game hunting.
Jesus
and, like, their numbers are dwindling. And also, gorillas, I learned, are down to, like, less than 700 gorillas.
Have you watched Virunga, a Netflix documentary that was nominated for the best documentary about the apes in the, you know, African preserves?
No.
Have you watched that? Oh, man. It's really great. And, you know, their territory was not even being hurt by hunters, but it's also being hurt by, like, the influx of, like, you know, not warlords, but like different variations of people taking over the country.
Yeah, it's definitely so, like, wars. Yeah.
Yeah, and so like, but like, people are paying a lot of money to kill these gorillas, and you know, like, and they do weird stuff, like get them out of the park. They put meat on top of their car to get lion out of the park.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, and you already have, that's the problem with the big game hunting, is you already have poachers who are doing it illegally. So like, now you have this legally hunted, illegally hunted, that like, it's only a matter of time. The northern white rhino, there's only four left now. And like, that's just like,
good,
a
fuck them.
Like, that's a subspecies. There you go. Yeah.
What do they do for us?
Yeah, but there's like 7 million southern white rhinos.
So that's
yeah.
true.
How many Iron Man movies are they putting out?
Yeah, I need more money from these yeah. rhinos.
But I have a question. So I was reading a lot of these comments towards, you know, the woman who killed the giraffe and this. And there's people that are like, I want to drag them out of their fucking homes and kill them.
Oh, yeah. There's like, people going
like,
crazy.
People are, in response to them, they're like, oh, they need to get lined up by a firing squad. Mm-hmm. And like, these people need to get murdered. Yeah. And I think it almost, you know, these people who are doing terrible things bring out almost the worst reactions of humans.
Right. Right.
You know? Well, I'm not like trying to spark a flame, but like the reading the comment boards to a lot of these are pretty insane.
You remember years back when Michael Vick got charged with dogfighting?
Yeah.
You remember the comments that were just like headed towards his way, like, oh, he should be like, he should be neutered, yeah. like he should be killed, to give him a death penalty.
Oh, I'm still, like, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Still.
I'm like, yeah. I mean, what he did was terrible, but like, come on, like,
well, no,
don't give him a death penalty for that.
It's one of those things. It's a lawful thing. Like, you want the law to like just take it into their hands and like, you know, try him if there's like legal precedent, like. You know, whatever, fine him and everything like that. The problem is, like, I what I like from this is not like not the death threats and stuff like that. I could care less if he's on the run or if he's, you know, if he has a happy life after that, that's fine. But it's more of like, I would like that, or I like the fact that all these people are now protesting and they're trying to end big game hunting.
Yeah,
because public awareness.
Yeah, it brought to light like all this shit. Like, now people are realizing, it's just like just recently with Blackfish coming out, people are realizing like, oh shit! Whales are being treated horribly. That shit's been going on for long, and like,
shark finning too.
Dude,
like,
shark finning,
you know,
so
sharks
bad.
Have been vilified in the media. You know, we hear about shark attacks, but like, you know, in China, shark fin soup is very good with cultural weddings and everything like that, and it's a sign of prosperity. But you know, we're so busy, like, you know, in the United States, we're so busy with shark attack news, and then in China, there's kind of like a media blackout and a cultural thing. So that's why no one really knows that like millions of sharks are being finned a year.
Dude, I read somewhere where it was like,
I blame Jaws 3. Yeah.
So terrible.
I blame
Shark
Jaws 3
Week
for a lot of things.
And Sharknado. And
well, here's the problem is when Jaws came out in, what, 76 or whatever, a lot of people didn't know what
sharks were. Like,
no one knew what a shark was.
Oh my god,
there's these big fish.
It's a killing machine.
What is this ocean?
So they have like a VHS player and a TV in the ocean, and you're like sitting there like watching it, like, holy shit.
No, everybody,
we're gonna get the fuck out of here.
Everybody prior to 1975 didn't realize that you could even go to the ocean. Everybody lived in fucking Wyoming.
That's why nobody lives in Wyoming anymore.
They spread out. Then the baby boom.
Was that called Manifest Destiny?
Yeah, yeah.
In World War II,
Wyoming.
Then,
No, but the problem is, like, people, okay, yeah, now they're talking about, oh, two shark attacks within, like, a couple weeks, like, in North Carolina or wherever it was, or South Carolina. They're talking about this, and the people are like, oh, my God, like, all these sharks, like, people are getting attacked. I'm afraid to go in the ocean. It's like, okay, two people were attacked. They didn't die. 80 million sharks are killed every year. Yeah. And like, it's only a matter of time before they're like gone.
Yeah.
And you should go, like, you know, you're going into the ocean where sharks are. Yeah. Like, listen, if I go into the rainforest of Brazil and a three-toed sloth kills me, I'm not going to be mad.
Yeah. It's like, you'd be impressed. Like,
bewildered. Definitely bewildered.
No, guys, I think three-toed sloths are hiding something. I really do.
Yeah.
Because if they were that slow, they'd all be dead.
Secrets. Too slow. I don't know. I don't trust them.
But it's even like shark fin soup. They've said like it's no taste.
Yeah,
like Gordon Ramsay went over there and he's like, it's fucking ridiculous. Like, what's going on?
But
with
it's a cultural, you know. You know, like, these. It's a sign, like, you know, in prosperity, and there is a lot of honor there's a lot of pride over there. So you want to have that at your wedding.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a cultural thing. And I think maybe the media blackout over there, because it is very censored, they probably don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they don't.
Maybe they do know, maybe they don't know. But I think it's interesting how two different countries deal with this situation differently. Well, like in the United States, it's, we just hear about shark attacks, and in China, they don't really have a knowledge about it.
I think that's part of the reason why the sea sea lion thing is sparking so much rage, because there's really no honor involved. It's basically just some guy having a lion like lured out, and he just shot it up close. Like, and I have like a lot of
he cheated too.
I mean, there was like, I have like a lot of, well, not a lot, maybe a couple hunter friends on my Facebook, and they're all like saying the same things. Like, you know, what he did wasn't hunting. Like like, you know, I guess to them, like, hunting is, like, going out, like, tracking the animal itself, like, kind of, you know, hunting them.
Yeah, right? There's a guy that I kind of follow named Steve Rinella, and he does a show called Meat Eater, and he's a big game hunter, and he talks a lot. He has his own podcast, I think it's called Meat Eater, and he talks a lot about the tracking of the animal, finding them, and, like, killing them one shot, and then finding, you know, that sort of stuff. Not shining a fucking spotlight. But even in Steve Rinella's case, I don't know, maybe people are right. Maybe, like, what's the point of the whole big game hunting thing? It's like the whole monkey chimp brain where, like, you have to conquer or, you know, climb the highest mountain, kill the biggest animal.
It's one of those things. It's not even that. It's like that trophy. It's like, what's his name? The late show.
Kimmel.
Kimmel, yeah. He went on and, like, he, like, ripped into this whole ordeal. He was, like, just saying, like, you know, you're cutting off a lion's head and you're hanging in your den to drink beer with some douchebag friends and just talk to your story about how you killed a lion and stuff. He's like, it's just fucking ridiculous. At this point, it made sense back in the day when you had to hunt for food and stuff. But at this point, especially with numbers dwindling, it's like, do you not want your kids to see, like, animals at all? Because they're not, there's going to be like if the rate at which animals are dying, like, gorillas are going to be gone probably within the next 20 years. They said tigers are going to be gone, at least in the wild, for the next 20 years. Like, there's just all these animals. And, like, the population, it's not even, like, hunting, too. It's just, like, you're dwindling their habitat because of population growth.
Yeah.
That all these animals are going to be gone. It's like, should we care? Should we not care? For me, like, I care, but I know a lot of people who don't. Like, they're just like, eh, whatever, you know, life's going to still go on for us and stuff. But it's like, okay, but then you're not thinking about the future. And, like, not only that, it's like bees, which are, like, no one likes bees. They're saying that if bees get wiped out,
we're fucked.
And, like,
the
bees,
happening.
Yeah. And that's exactly.
Where's Mark Wahlberg?
Brings us all back to it.
But, like, bees, they said, like, they're UK is now introducing plant seeds that kill bees when they, like, land on the plants and stuff and, like, take the pollen.
Why?
I don't know.
We don't want to be annoyed, man.
Yeah.
I thought we were all... No, but I thought that was like a known problem that we're trying to correct.
Yeah, that's a thing. At least in the U.S. it is.
Oh.
So I don't know how it is in the U.S.
They don't like honey in the U.S. Man.
We're going to have to go over there again and teach them a lesson.
Yeah.
I do think our problem as a culture is we're not proactive, we're reactive.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
You know, instead of being proactive, we're reactive. And then, you know, I mean, think about our culture and just changing mindsets. Like, you know, it's not going to change overnight, you know? And so a lot of the media that's going on right now, it might just be the vocal minority really going off on, you know, the internet.
Right.
So, I mean, it's tough to say, but who knows how this will work? Like, who knows if this awareness will be raised? Because, I mean, there still are people who are going to be defiant towards this and they're, you know, the latitudes of rejection, like, you know, I don't know. I think people are, I don't know.
You're gonna have to see the wheels keep turning on this, and, like, something else come out, because this whole season of the lion thing will be old news by next week. No one will give a fuck about it because something new will be out.
Yeah, and people are trying to push it aside with, like, you know, they're talking about people are getting pissed about, you know, animals being killed, but then there's, you know, people are also saying, well,
there's,
like,
people dying somewhere.
I hate that argument. They do that shit with everything. It's just like with the Caitlyn Jenner. This isn't courage. This is courage and, like, Marines and shit. Like, we know that Marines are courageous.
We're paying attention to her. We should be paying attention to them.
Yeah, like, I get that shit. Like, not everybody is, like, closed-minded. Like, a lot of people realize that there's more issues going on. It's just, like, this is just an issue that popped up that, like, now is making more people aware.
Yeah, people want to talk about it.
And, like, they just want to push their agendas because of this opening up. And I think that's kind of dangerous. But the awareness is good, man. I hope sometimes, like, I hope it doesn't become like a witch hunt, but I do hope that something proactive does happen.
Well, I think people have already started posting his address online.
Oh Jesus.
That's the thing. It's like, I don't want the guy to die. Like, obviously, really? It's like not that, like, that kind of thing that, I mean, I, I'm just against big game hunting. So if they can somehow from that get enough people to protest it, they stop big game hunting, at least in certain areas, which they have with like preserves, but just maybe like in more of Africa or more of even the United States, because, you know, a lot of the animals are dwindling in numbers. I mean, it's like, it's just mind blowing to know that there's like Florida panthers, there's 70.
Yeah.
If you go, how many people are there in Florida? It's like in the millions. And it's just like, that's like crazy to me that like soon, like all these animals are gonna be gone. And like, I do believe that we are like reactive, and it's like when the panthers are gone, and then like the deer get out of control, and then we kill all the deer, and then like that sparks something with the environment, and then, or it's like even when we're like draining water through aquifers, then they fucking dry up, and then we're like, oh shit, now we got to import water. Then we import water, and then like we have to import water from further away, and then we dry up other aquifers.
California.
It's like, it just, yeah, it just keeps going. And it just keeps building up. You have to find a problem, like a solution to the problem.
I think as a society, we just need a proper motivation. We just tell people, listen, guys, if we kill off all the animals, what are we going to name our sports teams after?
Exactly. Exactly. No one's going to know what the lion is.
Listen, the Florida Panthers? Like, what the hell is a panther?
Yeah. Dude, I honestly think that that's what it's going to be like in 100 years.
Yeah.
Like, people are going to be like...
The Tampa Bay VHSs.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Or, like, the Philadelphia Eagles. Or, like, if you know, as long as Eagles are on the endangered list, we're not going to be called the Eagles. And then, like, you know, the city of Philly makes a huge movement.
Yeah, it's like, that's the only...
Back. Like, the Philadelphia Drunks?
Yeah.
They are the most hated sports fans on
yeah, I saw that.
Philadelphia, fuck you, boo. But there's also this, back to the whole big game thing or the hunting thing, there's also this whole movement of eat what you kill or kill what you eat, where it's people want, there's people are moving away from the giant slaughterhouses that house hundreds of thousands of animals and murder them, and they're on all manner of hormones and who knows what. So there's kind of this whole thing of like going back to nature and hunting and killing that and eating that thing to kind of be a part of that experience of you know, having to kill that animal rather than have it killed for you. And then eating that. I think that has a little bit of a noble connotation to it. Like maybe like if you're going to kill and use what you eat.
Yeah.
I'm like in the, okay, like I agree in that sense with, okay, deer aren't endangered. So like hunting deer is like one thing. Right. And especially if you're going to use the meat and you're going to eat it and venison and stuff like that.
Venison is good, by the way.
Yeah.
Never had it.
But when you're like hunting like a rhino when there's only like so many rhinos left.
Yeah, the horn's the best part.
Yeah, you're not going to eat a rhino.
Right. There needs to be like some regulation of like, okay, dude, you can't shine a spotlight and like lure the lion. We're going to put you in jail if you do that.
What's the best part of a lion? Like which part of lion's it's good eating these things? Well, the tail,
midsection.
Maybe? Yeah,
I just think we're in like wiener. A bigger, faster, stronger. So, like, if we do the eat to kill, I don't know how sustainable that is for 350 million.
That's all,
fat Americans. So, like, you know, I guess they probably. I think our own gluttony caused the hormones and everything like that, and now there's a lot of people going, this is bad for us. But I think the only way to keep up with the insane amount of chicken everywhere on the planet is to stuff those little bastards in like, you know, 350,000.
But here's
tense, you know,
and that's another thing I saw, like all those pictures of people posting saying like, oh, how are you people all mad about this lion when you eat cows and stuff like that? Like, what's the difference between a lion and a cow? The difference is, there's a few. One's king of the jungle. The other one moves a lot. I mean,
the other one's a bird.
The other one's a lion.
The other one said, cows roam those jungles for centuries. No, but that's the thing is, like, we're breeding cows. I don't agree with the way we're breeding them, but we're breeding cows to eat, where we're not breeding lions to hunt or hunt or eat. So, like, honestly, like, I think, you know, you want to kill sharks for shark fin soup, start making huge fisheries. Like, charge more or whatever you have to do. Make huge fisheries where you just breed sharks to eat. Stop going to the ocean to do it. Same with lions. If you want to hunt lions, then breed them in a certain area and then use them for hunting. I mean, that sucks too, just because these are animals.
Really fucked up.
It's fucked up, but at least it's not messing with the actual population.
What about
of
whales?
Africa.
Where are you going to farm whales?
Breed some whales.
Breed some whales.
The local YMCA pool.
Honestly, like, that's what they're going to have to do, though. Just you're going to have to do
clean the Pacific trash pile and then use that as your whale farm.
Yeah, just make a big net. I'm just saying, like, you have to. If you're gonna keep, like, you're gonna protect these numbers and you're gonna protect these animals out in the wild and stuff, like, breed them for whatever purpose. I mean, it's still fucked up, but I think like that's like at least another way that you could go with a solution.
Yeah.
Because especially shark finning. Like, we already breed, like, you know, salmon. We have salmon fisheries and stuff like that. Like, do shark fisheries. That way you're not taken from the population in the ocean.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure how I feel about big game hunting. I don't see the point to it.
That's where it's at.
Small businesses, yeah. Small game hunting.
Just take a shotgun, take out some chickens.
America will.
The other thing is, like, but, like, that's my only thing with, like, hunting is, like, like, if you're just shooting to kill something, isn't that a weird?
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, weird to me.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's squirrely, though, man. Like, these people doing this are probably a little bent, you know?
They have to be because you're killing, like, I mean, it's still, like, you're going out there and you're, like, it's like Ricky Gervais said, if it's for, like, just to shoot, you would shoot at tin cans or right. Skeet shooting or something like that.
Or go to
if
a gun
it was,
range.
If it was, yeah, or if it was to kill for food, you would eat the animal. But just to kill something is like you want to take something else's life because
yeah.
You want to feel empowered.
What's like, almost as dangerous as killing another human, like killing something that can kill you, you know, killing
yeah,
a lion.
Yeah, like killing a lion, like this lion can kill. But again, it's like when I watch Alien versus Predator, okay? Predator gets the gun, all of a sudden he's killing all the aliens. Predator against an alien can't do shit. I'm telling you. Alien has it there. Alien's like the lion in this situation.
Oh, yeah. Okay. If we were...
Cecil
was,
Alien?
Yeah.
Poor guy.
That guy was out in the Serengeti, and it had been, maybe been a couple days since Cecil the Lion had eaten, and he was unarmed. He would have ate that guy.
Oh, easy.
Man. You read about, like... I read about, like, bear attacks, the way bears just, like, they don't give a fuck. You know, if they want to eat you, they'll just
eat
you.
Or do it in the style of Liam Neeson in The Gray and attach pieces of glass to your hands and then fight a wolf.
Yeah, if you can kill a lion in hand-to-hand combat,
by
all means.
But to take a crossbow or a gun... To be in a jeep with a gun just makes me think, like, if you can't kill that lion... Then you should
suck.
Be ashamed of yourself. Like, obviously, you should be able to kill a lion.
It's a quarter glass of water.
Yeah, you should be able to kill anything in a fucking jeep with a spotlight and a gun.
So you would get mad if I rolled up to the Serengeti in a tank and just, like, start blasting away?
Yeah, blasting at zebras and shit.
Zebras, gorillas, lions.
No,
what else you got?
If you did that and then you came out and you're like, yeah. I killed all those animals. I would be like,
oh, yeah.
Of course you did.
Master hunter.
Yeah. A master hunter. I'd be like, you're not even close to a master hunter.
Trophy on my wall.
I am the new king of the jungle.
See that?
Nailing body parts to your fucking wall.
I also need new shells for my tank.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I think there's like a little bit to it. And like, I have friends who hunt, and if they listen to this, they're probably going to rip into me or whatever. But it's like one of those things.
Do they
just
shoot to kill?
Yeah. I don't know.
I think
it's just to shoot to kill.
Like, they'll catch fish.
That's another thing.
And just throw it back.
I say, most dangerous game, these people.
Look, I like the hand-to-hand combat.
Build an island
for people, and then, yeah.
The running man.
The condemned.
If you want to hunt big game, we'll maybe give you a knife.
One knife.
No
go
jeep.
After him. No jeep, no car, no gun.
Maybe a bicycle. We'll give you a bicycle.
A Geo Metro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's it. you can maybe... Okay, you can get a scooter.
Okay.
No, I'd say a bicycle.
All right, a bicycle.
In the Serengeti? I like it.
You at least have a way to get away in case of danger.
All right, so you get a bicycle and a knife, and if you can kill a lion or a rhino
to
or whatever...
a cheetah on a bicycle.
Yeah.
How fast can you pedal?
5 seconds and you're dead.
Okay. Well, no, man.
I don't know. Yeah, I just think it's funny. Like, if it's... Like, you should be able to.
So what if a guy took up your challenge and he did take out a lion with just a knife?
Good job.
Like, it was just him.
Fine.
The lion and that knife. And he just, like, after, like, a three-day battle.
A three-day battle?
Holy shit. Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
The thing went on.
Listen,
they took breaks in between to eat and to drink.
We're cool, right?
There was blood drawn on both sides, right?
Hey.
They were both tired.
Things
were
sad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure if you stabbed a lion, like, you could deter it from, like, attacking you and stuff like that. But I'm saying, like, I just don't think... I think, like, humans, we're on the top of the food chain because of technology and because of things that we've built and created. But I'm telling you...
Like a crossbow?
You go out in the Serengeti by yourself, oh, man, you're going to be so scared.
Yeah.
You're going to be scared.
I think, Les Stroud, the Survivor Man, he did that. Like, every night he found a cave, but then every night he'd have to, like, gather thorn bushes to put it at the mouth of the cave so that the lions won't come in.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah.
The baboons will get you, man.
Oh, dude, yeah, baboons are crazy, yeah, too. Yeah,
three-toed sloths.
They're not nice.
Yeah, three-toed sloths.
Yeah, I mean,
porcupines. There's so many things in Africa that would just go after
if
you.
If left to our own devices, we're maybe like middle of the food chain.
Yeah, I say we're in the middle. We can punch, like, if a duck attacked us, we'll punch it. Oh, yeah. We'll fuck up a duck.
Oh, crush that duck.
Yeah. That duck will know what's in it.
Stupid duck.
Somehow, some guy just dies by a duck. The duck is above him, webbed feet on his face.
Duck got him, man.
Blood everywhere.
Really? The duck got him? Yeah, man.
That duck owned that guy. It was a 3-day battle. They took breaks, and the duck still came out victor.
Embarrassing.
I mean, the duck could have flew away at any time, but he just kept in it. He just stayed with it because he knew he had a chance.
His wings were weapons. Yeah. They weren't used to flee.
Yeah, blades.
I think like most, a lot of like quadruped animals, like bigger than maybe like a medium sized animals, I think would be a match for humans. Like I'd say like even like a medium sized dog could probably.
Yeah.
It'd probably kill you.
Or like a Rottweiler, could kill you, man.
Saint Bernard.
Yeah.
No, you have no chance.
Cujo.
Yeah.
Cujo
was the Saint Bernard?
No, what was he?
I don't know.
What was Cujo?
Cujo was Beethoven.
Beethoven was the Saint Bernard.
Okay, same thing. Okay, Cujo, Beethoven. Yeah. They both were very vicious towards Charles Grodin.
Oh yeah, he was a Saint Bernard. Oh my god.
See, he was a Saint Bernard.
Cujo.
Okay, if you had to have one of them, which one would you take?
Cujo.
Okay, yeah. I'd want a story.
Charles Grodin.
You would never have a boring moment with Cujo.
No. Always watching behind your back. You got to stay one step ahead of him.
Yeah. What if they were switched? Do you think Cujo with Charles Grodin?
Beethoven would have been a very short movie.
Like, it doesn't care that the mom and the son are in the car, but they're like screaming bloody murder. And then Cujo kills Charles Grodin within the first 10 minutes.
Oh, no.
Both of them would be a lot shorter movies.
Yeah. Oh,
I agree.
Anyways, yeah, that's all I want to talk about with that Cecil thing.
That's good.
Took up a whole half a podcast.
Yeah, shit, we're at the end.
Yeah. Well,
at least they didn't use like a rocket launcher.
Yeah, could you imagine?
Yet,
like Jurassic World.
I feel like it's gonna happen though.
A rocket launcher? Hey, okay, a rocket launcher against a baboon.
Duck. Yeah, duck. Taking the duck.
Hey, in Far Cry 4, I used a rocket launcher versus an elephant. I had to. I think it was charging me.
Mm. I just picture a baboon riding the rocket. Just blowing up a hut. I don't know why.
What am I thinking of?
I remember in that one Turok game, they had baboons, and they, like, attacked you.
Oh, yeah, my uncle lived in Africa for 2 years, and he used to tell me stories about how, like, they would have to shoot the baboons with potato guns. would sneak into the villages and steal food and like go after little kids.
No, see, that's good fun.
Yeah, that's all fun.
Shoot a baboon with a potato gun.
Potato gun?
Yeah.
Like it actually shoots potatoes?
Yeah, and then they would have to put charges on the trash cans because the baboons would pilfer them at night, so they'd have to like shock the baboons.
What's the original purpose of a potato gun though?
Why potatoes?
Pure accident. Somebody ran out.
Yeah.
And of what?
Bullets?
someone got bored of making mashed potatoes. So they were just like, there's got to be a more fun way to do this.
I mean, imagine getting hit by a potato.
That would hurt.
Hurt like shit.
Like a nice golden russet?
Yeah.
Right on your side?
That would Charlie horse you for days.
Oh,
yeah.
What happened to you?
Nice little welt.
I've actually been hit by a potato.
I had a loaded potato.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, loaded potato.
If I threw a potato at you, it would hurt.
I think a loaded potato would actually hurt less, though.
That'd be great, like...
All that bacon and sour cream
Well, because it's like a warm... I'm thinking of a warm, loaded potato.
Why hasn't Jackass done that yet? Like,
a potato gun?
A warm, baked potato, loaded, and then the potato gun, like, fired into somebody's face. Like, that's a Jackass skit.
I don't think that would hurt that much, do you think? I don't think so, no. A loaded potato?
It would hurt, but I mean...
It would be delicious.
Yeah, but I think like a loaded potato is usually a little bit softer because it's like warm and it's got like bacon bits and stuff and sour cream. I think the sour cream kind of smooths it over.
I feel like the loaded potato just makes it heavier, hence the reason why it's called loaded.
Right. Potato. I think it's loaded, but I don't think
bacon,
it's...
Bacon, sour cream, cheese, chives. But chives. It's softer. That's where the damage comes from, the chives.
They get in your eyes.
Yeah.
Like shrapnel. Oh, God, everywhere.
Oh, you don't want them getting in your mouth. The chives are disgusting.
Yeah, the chives just go right into your face like you're that villain from Die Another Day with the diamonds.
Oh, you got like you got chives like embedded in your face.
He smells delicious though.
Smells delicious though.
Well, on that note, I think we can get out of here, right?
Sure, please.
All right, make sure you go to sharkdropper.com and check out all of our podcasts. You can find Mark's podcast, the Movies, Films, and Flicks podcast there. You
his
can find
website too.
His website, moviesfilmsandflicks.com. You can go to Shark Dropper to find just about any of the podcasts that we do. Top Five, Cop Doctors, Doppel Avenue, Hurt,
also,
and Paralyzed.
Visit Patreon. Maybe donate something if you'd like.
Yeah, if you feel if
we're,
you feel
we're on Patreon, we got stuff up there. Also, do you want to plug anything else, Mark?
Loaded baked potatoes, guys.
Very delicious.
I feel like they're an underused weapon.
How many minutes in the do you go oven or microwave?
I mean, you got to go oven, you know, because the good thing about that is if you're not like Mitch Hedberg says, like if you're not hungry, you know, you put it in the oven, then who knows when it's ready.
You could smell it.
You could use it as a weapon, or if you're hungry, you got a sweet loaded potato.
It's the versatility that's key, really.
Yeah. You could siege a village for years with loaded potatoes.
Although I'm more of a sweet potato guy now.
But wouldn't that just extend the siege because you're just feeding them at the same time? Right?
That's true. Like,
why won't they leave?
Is it all these potatoes?
Yeah.
Some guys up on the turrets going, you can't get me. You can't.
I'm just tired of all these potatoes, man. There's nothing but mashed potatoes, french fries, curly. I'd be like every shape of fry.
Wedge fries.
Oh, God. Is it Friday again?
Waffle fries.
That's how all those were invented. Like during a siege, I got bored and they just turned into a culinary art.
All right, really quick. What's your favorite type of fry?
Waffle.
Checkers.
Loaded.
Steak.
Steak, really?
I like steak fries.
I thought you were going to go with waffle.
Aren't steak fries just regular fries?
Yeah, but they got the little ridges.
Dude, they're huge, man. Aren't steak fries like 3 inches long?
Yeah, they're like big, like little paddles of
definitely
fries.
Not like
that
the
steak fries. What's the ones like the crinkled fries then?
Yeah, that's crinkle cut.
I want the crinkle. That's what they're called. Okay, yeah. I want the crinkle cut fries.
Yeah,
then.
Want the crinkle cut fries.
They hold
don't
more
get
ketchup.
The steak and shake fries though. So I don't know what
those are too
thin. Terrible. Yeah,
they're too thin. I don't like them.
McDonald's fries too. They're only good if they're hot.
Yeah, they're so thin. It's like they're not. I'm not even eating them. I don't even want. Why bother?
Chick-fil-A all day.
Yeah, I would say waffle fries, but Checker fries I put above those from Checkers.
That's true. I like Checkers fries a lot.
Okay.
All right. So check out checkers.com.
Checkers.com for all your checker fry needs.
Yeah.
All right. So for Mark Hoffmeyer, that has been Shark Dropper this week. I am Kyle.
I'm Robert.
I'm John.
And we will see you next week.
Sweet.
As I stand here looking out over the ocean, I didn't want to cause a great big commotion. It's when I saw what looked like a fin break through the surface again. It was a shark.
We're above the target. T-minus 5 seconds till shark drop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop the shark. Go, go, go.
This podcast is a Shark Dropper Studios production.